This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The Pac-12, I mean, this is the summertime, so we're getting, you know, Big 12 does theirs really early. We got media days and all that leading up to the season. The Pac-12, as we've talked about, has decided, it's not for us. We're not going to do it. Not going to mess with it. I'm kind of a little bit of like neither here nor there, but thought it would have been interesting this first year for the Pac-12 to at least do it this year. But, we'll get Kevin Lytle's thoughts on it. Kevin Lytle of the Colorado. Who would know better than Kevin, who's been to a million of these things? Kevin, you don't really think it's that big of a deal that the Pac-12's not doing a media day thing this summer?
No, I mean, the league's done. They might as well just close it up. didn't do media days. This whole relaunch, just total fail. It's all over. You didn't have a media day, which is the most important thing in the world. No, it's funny. It's kind of, honestly, it became a bigger thing than I thought it would, to be very frank. You started seeing a bunch of tweets and everything of everyone one way or another getting all mad. And I was like, who are these media day fanboys? Like, why? I don't get it. I've been at these. There's some usefulness to them. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and say that it's a total waste of time, but I also don't think it's a huge deal. And everything the Pac-12 kind of needs to get attention wise, if you will, year one of the new version, I think they can get in other ways. Now we'll see what they do. I kind of mentioned a few things that, if this or that doesn't happen, maybe they did miss, but just not doing media days, I think, is fine. You get a few of these kind of mocking tweets. It was probably a misstep from the whoever it was to VP or some whatever, whoever it was that said, it was cost cutting. Even if it is, maybe don't say that publicly.
Yeah.
That's not a great line to say. But also, it's kind of funny. It's like, so what if it is? Like, if you're a program, would you rather, the conference spend the money to fly everyone to Vegas or spend it on, something that can help on the field? So, I just don't think it's a big deal. Like I say, I'm very intrigued by what they do to kind of build up steam of attention, but just not having your traditional media day, I think it's fine. I mean, usually when I've been at them, I sit there thinking, who's this for? Like, is this a good use of time? And usually I lean toward no.
Yeah, and I'm not having gone to any of these in the past, I do, from reporters like yourself, you pick up little tidbits here and there. A lot of that stuff, though, I know you noted the Jay Norvell story, where he's calling out specific players and such. I mean, Kevin, I've already got that information from you, so I get that. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're just doubling down on it. That's fascinating. You got Coach Prime saying, hey, we're going to be good. Don't worry. We're going to be good. Occasionally, you get little nuggets that are dropped, and it's kind of interesting. But for the most part, is it like a necessity? Do we have to have it? No.
Yeah, I think, I think that was always the best part, is you get these coaches in, from my perspective, you get them in a little bit more relaxed environment. They're not as, kind of wound up as, if it's a practice or a normal press conference or whatever. I mean, Jay Norvell, we all know he was a pretty just kind of normal guy. One year we all just sat in a lunchroom eating lunch together and, just kind of, talking about whatever. I think we're talking about cars at one point. So that part is nice. You can build, a little bit more of a human relationship than a work relationship. But again, like when you balance, like what are the benefits and what are the downfalls, I just don't think it's a huge deal to not do it. Like I say, there are parts of it I wouldn't mind the ability to sit there and, like I say, a more casual setting, either talk to Jim Moore or, maybe some of these players, because obviously most of the CSU players don't know very well because there are so many of them that are new. So, I wouldn't mind any of that. But do I think it's vital to have that for the league? No, I just don't.
I think, yeah, that's the difference there. Would it have been, I mean, do the optics look strange? It's the recharge of the Pac-12, and you're not going to have it. There might be a lot of questions. But again, if you're following along with the story, we've asked everything. We've asked about, you know, media stuff, the new teams that are in. So I'm kind of torn, but you said it. It's not vital, and that's why in a month it won't matter.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. Like, sure, you get some tweets right now or whatever, like, oh, LOL, look at the Pac, you know, poor Pac-12 can't even pay for media days. It's like, whatever. Yeah, those will be gone. The Pac-12's national attention and view of their brand, to be very frank, is going to come down to what they do on the field this fall. You know, that's going to be their first real chance to build national or to sway national perception about the league. If, you know, the Pac-12 teams go win some big non-conference games, certainly if the Pac-12 gets a team in the playoff, that's where you win. That's what matters. You know, if whomever wins the league is in the playoff in December, no one's going to be sitting there saying, well, yeah, but they didn't have media days, guys.
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, this season is going to be so interesting. I've said this a lot, too. Like, even if CSU wasn't in this new Pac-12, the idea behind this conference reemerging, to me, is one of the more interesting stories in all of college football.
Yeah, it's super fascinating just because I don't know that we've ever seen something like this. Obviously, we've seen big conference realignment where leagues change significantly. But to see a huge brand, I mean, the Pac-12 brand is massive, to see it basically die, close to die, be on life support, and then come back, I mean, and certainly my time, I don't recall anything like that. Obviously, you know, like the SWAC died back in the day, like we've seen conferences go away, but to kind of go on life support and come back for such a big brand is super fascinating.
Yeah, it is. You know, Washington State and Oregon State holding together to try to make this thing work with just the two teams. And then, of course, to stay alive, they did the schedule merger with the Mountain West. We all know how that story ended up. But all of it really is a fascinating story. The fact that those two teams hung in there, kept it going, and now they've reloaded. When you're looking at this, you know, as far as the football side of things go, Kevin, who's the team to beat, you know, just based off of our July 9 conversation?
You know, I think you just have to go with Boise State because of what they did in the Mountain West, and, you know, almost have to, they get the benefit of the doubt and everyone else has to prove it. I think, you know, I can't really argue a different way right now because they ran the Mountain West for so long, even though I would say several times in the last few years, I'll admit, I kind of looked at, you know, some of what they had and been like, you know, is this actually going to click? And they keep winning, you know, the Mountain West. So why not? You know, I think you have to say they're the favorite.
Yeah. And Boise, I mean, yeah, they've just been so consistent, you know, year in and year out. Their time in the Mountain West was amazing.
And we all saw it last year, you know, post Ginty, you know, you still had a pretty young coach in Danielson, you know, relatively inexperienced, like, okay, what's going to happen? Well, guess what? They won the league. So you just have to give them the benefit of the doubt. They've earned it. And now it's on everyone else to change that and say, nah, you know, that was the Mountain West, you know, in the Pac-12, it's different, even though a lot of the teams are the same.
Where do you see CSU fitting in? We've talked about it before, but as we get closer to it, obviously we've got a lot to learn more about this team and what they're going to look like. I think every team in the country can say that, but I'm at this point, Kevin, where if we're talking about it, I have no idea. I'm excited about Jim Mora. I'm excited about the potential idea of, you know, mobile quarterbacks, fast quarterbacks, hot, nasty speed alerts, Kevin, all that. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm just, I at this stage, I'm just sitting back and watching. You tell me what I'm supposed to expect.
No, I think that uncertainty is super fair because of all the new players, because I think the league is pretty balanced. I don't think you have any clear, you know, kind of deadbeats that are terrible. And like I say, even though Boise should be a favorite, I don't think they're a clear juggernaut either. So I think that balance makes it really hard when you combine also all the newness. Most national, you know, kind of folks' projections have CSU either last or second to last. This is mostly just a bet on Jim Mora and his resume. I don't think CSU's finishing at the bottom there. I'd say more middle. is most likely. But I could kind of argue just about every scenario because of all the uncertainty.
And that's the thing. That's why, again, the Pac-12 is interesting, but seeing what CSU really does with a new coach, new philosophy, all a lot of change for this football program.
Yeah, it really is. It's I need to add it up. I have some like 70 new players in addition to all the new coaches, new turf at Canvas Stadium. I mean, it's all happening. So, yeah, it's just a huge offseason of change.
I can't wait, man. I'm really – this is – I've been excited about CSU in the past, but this with the new conference with Jim Mora, there's a lot more excitement surrounding this upcoming season than maybe he's been there in a while for Colorado State.
Yeah, I think when you also throw in, you know, the first game being Border War, third game is BYU. I mean, you just have a huge September. And, you know, obviously everyone always gets optimistic in the offseason, but I think all those changes, the new league, it's just going to make an even greater fever pitch heading into that first game, and especially it being the Border War. And that's going to be such a unique week one for CSU and CSU fans, as well as Wyoming and their fans as well. So I think months from now, people are really going to be buzzing.
Yeah, we're not that far away from this Border War. And you know, Kevin, the Border War is going to have a little bit more juice to it, I think, this year. Because, you know, you have your Wyoming fans that are like, oh, you think you're too good for us leaving and going to the Pac-12. I think it's going to be a lot. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, there's that. And then, obviously, just for either team, it's such a tone setter. Obviously, that game's always big. But being week one, you know, whoever loses it, you know, I don't want to say they're reeling, but, you know, their fan base is pretty mad. And concerned, whereas whoever wins it is feeling like, oh yeah, this is the year, you know, everything's clicking. So it's, you know, we always get week one overreactions, but holy cow, the week one overreactions are going to be crazy.
Oh my gosh.
That's fun. It's exciting to think about, you know, actual games, not media days
or, you know, the business, the Sorsbys, all that, the conference realignment, the whatever abbreviation it is for the Save the World Act or whatever it is. I'm ready to just talk about, you know, a quarterback throwing a 20-yard touchdown or something like that.
Totally. I think CSU fans would love to see a quarterback throw a 20-yard touchdown. I'm not sure when the last time that happened. A little bit tongue-in-cheek there.
Well, how about the quarterback thing? Is it going to be Haas Haney? I mean, again, I know we don't know anything yet, and we'll get that closer, but we have a true quarterback competition going on for CSU.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I keep saying if I had to guess today, most likely I'd say it's Haas Haney, just because of his, resume is probably the wrong word because he's only played in like two games in college, but, you know, his potential, I guess. But I think it's going to be a really interesting camp. I think it's a real competition. It sure looked like it in spring.
Yeah, we'll see, man. Hey, when does fall camp start up yet? Do you have any dates for us yet?
I haven't got like an official schedule or anything, but everything I've heard is pretty much right around that August 1. So yeah, we're about 3 weeks out from camp and everything starting, which is kind of wild to think about.
Yeah, we're about a month or so away from recharging Rams Weekly again. I'm assuming we're good.
Absolutely. Well, you know, get in touch with my people. We'll work on some numbers and, you know, see what we come up with. But yeah, super excited for that. I think we're going to have a heck of a lot to talk about leading up to and in this season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, Kevin. Always appreciate you, bro. And we'll catch up with you next week.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle of the Coloradoan. Yeah, I think, you know, and again, I think it would have been good to have the media day. I do. But I'm also, it is what it is, I guess. I'm not that concerned that they're not having it. I don't think it means that it's off to a bad start for the Pac-12 or anything like that. But I think it would have been better to have it, especially this year. But I also get Kevin's point of, you know, hey, it's not vital to have this thing. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break here. Coming up in the second hour, we got top stories of the day. And the Rockies are still losing games, Mike. But you're blind and you're not paying attention if you don't feel that this team is doing something different. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
scenes, no parades.
No! No!
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for the latest.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.